Well, praise the Lord. I want to first of all greet you all in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I also bring greetings from my family back home and our church back home in Zimbabwe. Before I came here, I was in India, in New Delhi, and the church there is also greeting you. From there, I went to Coimbatore, which is in South India. The church also there is greeting you. So I thank the Lord for giving me this opportunity again to be in your midst, to fellowship with you, and I can see some old faces and some new as well. So I thank God for that. But the old are still holding on, and the new are still coming to give the glory and honor to God, so that what God purposed for us may be accomplished. So when I see that, I see the Word of God as a living force, or a living power that brings into being the purpose and the mind of God. And I want to thank the Lord for this church, for what it stands for, and the blessings that are being enjoyed, or benefiting many others, maybe across our borders and even across many seas and oceans, because of your standing on the Word of God and your contribution to the purpose of the Kingdom of God. May that be greatly remembered and rewarded in the eternal Kingdom of God. I thank God for my brother who has given me this opportunity to stand in his pulpit to fellowship and share with you the Word of God. Not bringing you anything new, but that which you have already heard and that which has already been given to you. Like Paul said to Timothy, stir up the gift that is in you. So the Word of God has been given to you. All the ministry is to do is to stir up that, maybe bring into being that purpose of God which he desired for us. And we want to thank God that you are part of that group of a people on this blessed earth who have come to the realization, as the brother was saying, of the purpose of God. Though we are earth, but God so honored that portion of earth that he made you, that in you may dwell his spirit.
Amen.
And the soul that God put in this poor earth is to magnify God in this earth. So we thank God. I just want to share with you a little thought, the Lord willing. We may read from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll read from verse 1 to verse 3. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are in Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be... I'm sorry. I'm reading Ephesians chapter 1. Okay. I must be Ephesians chapter 4. Sorry. Ephesians chapter 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of love. So we pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we've just read your word. We pray, Father God, for the power of God and the Spirit of God to so anoint, Father God, these words. And may you, Father, circumcise these feeble lips. And Lord, also our hearts, that we may speak and hear, Father God, that which you purpose for us, O God. I want to thank you this morning, Lord, for giving us this opportunity, giving us good health, Father God, that we may listen And Father God, we may come to your word, that Lord, it may bear fruit in our lives. I want to commit now this time, Lord, into your hands for your glory and your honor. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Now, I just want to speak on this little thought, we have been called. It is God who has called us. We are here, not of our own, but God called us. Amen. So, it is a great opportunity that the God of heaven, who looks upon this great earth and all the people that are on this earth, that he particularly called you so that you may be part of his program and his purpose. Now, we know in this world, in the midst of all, maybe the morals, be they good or bad, the freedoms, be it political or whatever it is, the democracies and whatever we enjoy in this world, or the oppressions that are there in the world, be it communism, atheism, or whatever it is, and all the religious influences that are in this world, all these things somehow, they have an impact upon the being, the character, and the lives of people surrounded by those particular things. As the brother was saying there in Iran, where there is this oppression because of this Islam ideology, that people, they cannot just choose to follow the Christian values or belief. There are also places in this world where there is so much freedom that anybody can do whatever he wants. And also, we know there are some things like maybe that affect us individually or particularly yourself. Maybe you were born in a Christian family, you were born among Christian peoples. That also is an impact upon what you do maybe later in life. But I just want to show you that our calling was not influenced by all those factors. Mm-hmm. Though we may look at it and say, maybe for your country here, you know, you enjoy that freedom whereby you can choose to follow God or to be a Christian or to be whatever you want. And as I said, it might have played a part in your life that you came to believe in God, because you were already surrounded by that atmosphere whereby that was imparted on you that there is God. But although all those things and all those factors, they can play a part in our livelihood, but God has called us. When God calls, it doesn't matter you are under a system that is maybe, I'll say, democratic, or a system that is Christian, or a family that believes in Christ, or whatever it is. When God calls you, it is Him who has called you.
Right.
For a particular purpose. It is He who has called you for His own glory. And we want to thank God that this God who has called us, maybe you are still in that book of Ephesians. Now we can just maybe go back to chapter 1 where, excuse me. In chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians, it says, verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. Now, what God has done to us, He has not only showed us His will. Here it says, He has shown us or revealed to us the mystery of that will. When Abraham left the land of Haran, and he was going to this land which God he was going to give it to his seed. You know, Lot also went with him. And Lot left the clan of Haran because God had spoken to Abraham.
Right.
And Abraham had related it to Lot that God has told me that I should go to a particular land. And the Bible says, out of Kedesh, Abraham took Lot with him. He did not just drag him and say, come follow me. He must have explained to him, God has told me I must go to that particular land. And to Lot was given to know what the will of God was in that particular day. And Lot did not come out of Haran because he wanted to go on a tour to the promised land. But he went there because he knew God had spoken that. And when he was going, maybe his little daughter would have asked him, why are we going there? He says, God has told Abraham and God has revealed to him that we must go to that land. His wife may have questioned him, why are we going? He says, it is God. It is not me, but God himself has said we should go. And he went with Abraham. But we know what happened when they were now in that land. When problems came between their herdsmen, Lot lifted up his eyes and he looked to Sodom. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw the stars of heaven. And it was said to him, so your children be. Now, then you can see that Lot, he knew the will of God, but Abraham, he knew the mystery of that will. He knew the purpose why God was calling him. That's why even though he went to that promised land, he prospered in that land, but he looked for a city whose builder and maker is God, of which we are not told in the book of Genesis that God ever told him that he's going to give him a city. But it was revealed to him why God had called him to that land.
Right.
Now to us, who have been called by God, our calling, you know, it's not because we are living in a land where Christianity is allowed. Our calling is not because my dad and mom believe this word.
Right.
My calling is not because my husband believes it.
Mm-hmm.
My husband could have invited me to church, my wife could have invited me to church, but that's not why you are here. We are here because God has called us. And if it is God who called us, it is not our freedom of worship that makes us to be here.
Right.
We are not here because we are allowed to. Even if you were in a land or in a place where it was death to attend a service, you were going to attend.
Right.
Because it is not the environment that has called you, but it is God.
Right.
And God has got a purpose why he has called you.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible here says, he revealed to us the mystery of that will which he had for us. Amen.
Amen.
Now, because of that, that God is the one who called us, whatever the situation may be, there is something that is in us that is a testing for the cause to which we were called.
Mm. Right.
And again, when we come to God, there are many things that pertain or that go with salvation. We have heard testimonies of healings, blessings, and all these things. These things, they come with this package. But though we may enjoy those things, but there's still something in a God-called person to achieve the of God's calling.
Right.
And that is revealed to you individually by the grace of God.
Amen.
Now, let's just read from the book of John, chapter 6. John chapter 6. If we read verse 65. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
No man can come to Jesus. But if we look in the Bible, even in this place where Jesus was saying these words, it was a day after he had blessed those few fishes and bread, and many thousands had eaten. And many people were coming to Jesus because they knew he was a prophet. They knew he was a deliverer. They knew he spoke, like the Bible says, with authority, not like the scribes and their teachers. There was something that was calling them to Jesus Christ. And here they were given the bread. And the next thing they were coming and saying, where were you? We're looking for you. And he actually told them, you were not looking for me because you saw the sign, but because you ate bread and were filled. So you can see, they were coming to him because he was good. They were coming to him because he healed their sick. They were coming to him because of all these benefits, as I say, that go with where Jesus Christ is. But then he tells us that no man can come to me except it be given him by the Father. But who gave them, or all these people, to follow him even into the wilderness? And he had all these ministers, he had about 70 of them, who were going forth proclaiming that Jesus was the Messiah in every city before Jesus would come there. But he says, no man can come to me. And who is this me he is talking of? He is talking of himself. And who is he? We see him asking the question, who do people say I, the Son of Man, am? And some were saying he's Elijah, some were saying he's Jeremiah, some one of the prophets, some even John raised from the dead. So when they were coming to him, some were coming to resurrected John, according to their conception. Some were coming to Elijah. Some were coming to Jeremiah. But although they were following him, he says, no man can come to me. But to who were all these coming to? They were coming to their own illusions
right.
of who he was.
Mm-hmm.
But it is given by the Father to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. As Peter said, you are the Son of the living God. And then Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So you can see, Peter was coming to Christ, was coming to Jesus, not to somebody who can make him get more fish.
Right.
Not to somebody who can just heal his mother-in-law. Not to somebody who can do this miracle, that miracle. He was coming to that revelation of who he was.
Right.
And he says, no man can come to that unless it is given to him by God himself. And then within the Old Testament, I think in Psalm 65, he says, blessed is the man whom you, God, caused to come into your presence, even to the courts of your temple.
Amen.
So it is God who brings us into the purpose of his calling. So we were not called by any other circumstance. Don't be good or whatever it is. It is not that which brought us to this God whom we are worshipping. Amen.
So we don't end in the perimeters of what God can do for us. Like those people in the days of Jesus Christ, they could come to him as long as he was giving them bread.
Right.
They could come to him as long as he was healing their sick.
Right.
Those were the only perimeters whereby they could come and fellowship with him. Anything further than that, they could not come.
Right.
Because actually when we have read in chapter 6, verse 65, in verse 66, it says many of his disciples could not go along with him from that time, when he now started to reveal to them who he actually was. Amen.
Amen.
So, as I said, we just want to say and to speak on this. We have been called by God. Now, if it is God who called us, if it is him who brought us to be what we are, if we were not called by the democratic situation in our country, if we're not called by the freedom that is in our country, if we're not called by anything outside the word of God, then how should we behave? How should we conduct ourselves?
Right.
Even in this freedom that we enjoy, even in this liberty that we have, because you may look at it like this. In a land where Christianity is forbidden, just to be a Christian, even to be a Catholic, is something great. Because of the environment in that particular place.
Right.
You get the point?
Uh-huh.
Now, here you are, like in this land of yours, where you have all that freedom, that nobody can just do whatever he wants with you. You know, some of the things you enjoy here, you know, it will be heaven to us, you know, places. And you know, you don't even know how you take these things for granted. You see? So, even in all these things that we seem to enjoy, how much are we in the reality of the purpose of God's calling? As I said, it may be death sentence just to attend the service in some other areas. And yet, for us, we don't even, you know, take it to our lives that I must go to church.
Right.
I must attend the service.
Amen.
I must be there in the service.
Mm-hmm.
I must see. I must give glory to God. I must testify. You know, just these things. Yet, in other places, so it's death just to walk into a room where people are worshiping God.
That's true.
Right. Now, since we have been called, and it says it is only God who can bring us to that, to the courts of his temple. David could see it. But you know, David was not in a land where people did not know God.
Mm-hmm.
David was a king of a nation that was ruled by the principles and the laws of God. But even though he was in such an environment, David could see by revelation that it takes God for somebody to come into the presence of God. Yet everywhere around them, they were surrounded by things that proclaimed that there is God in heaven.
Uh-huh.
When you go to Jordan, you get to that place, in Gilgal. There was there that pillar of stones taken from the river when they crossed the Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
There was evidence that God was in their midst.
Amen.
You will go all over Israel and you could see maybe even the graves of the prophets that were surely for that there was God in them. They were drinking water from the well that Abraham, even Jacob, had dug, showing forth that God was in their midst.
Uh-huh.
And there was even this tabernacle where the ark of God was. It was all proof that God was in their midst. But even though they had all these things, David had this revelation that it has to come from God for somebody to enter into the presence of God.
Amen. That's right.
They had that tabernacle, yes. And everybody was free to come into that tabernacle. Mm-hmm. They were coming to worship in the tabernacle where the ark of God was. But David could see beyond that earthly tabernacle. He could see where God really dwelt.
Right.
But as for them, to them, God was in that Holy of Holies. When the priest would go inside there and come out and bring the offering into there and come out, they said, yes, our God dwells there. And everybody had access to come into the courts of this tabernacle. Yet David said it's a blessing for somebody to be shown the true presence of God.
Right.
And the Bible here says, we have been called. Amen.
Amen.
Now, also in these people, in Israel, you can see in chapter 9 of the book of Romans. Chapter 9, the book of Romans. Verses 6 to 8. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel, neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children, but in Isaac thy seed shall be called. Amen.
Amen.
Now, though they were all Abraham's seed, they were all Abraham's children, but they were not all seed. Because it says, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now, Isaac is here referred to as the seed of Abraham. And we know that Isaac was the foreshadow of Christ, the true seed of God. Now, Abraham had many children, but yet it says, though they are children, they are not seed.
Right.
Now, what is that seed? The seed comes from the promise. Because Isaac was a son, or was begotten through the promise of God. So Isaac was a realization of the promise. So in actual sense, Isaac was a promise. Can you see?
Right.
His very being born was a promise that the true seed of Abraham shall be born. That's why even Abraham, when he got Isaac, he was still looking for that seed.
Uh-huh.
He was really satisfied. Because if you read in the book of Hebrews, it says, the old sages, they all by faith not received the promises, but they embraced them as they saw them afar off. Abraham was called to a land, and he actually walked dug wells and lived on that land. Mm-hmm. But the Bible says he was not given the promise. God tells him, I'm going to give you a son. And actually God came down on the in Genesis 18 and said, next year by this time your Sarah will have a son. And she actually had that son, as per the promise of God. But the Bible says he did not receive the promise. How could it be? Hannah prayed to God, I want a son. And she was given that son. Mm-hmm. And even extra ones. And the Bible says she did not receive the promise.
Mm-hmm.
What is that promise that they did not receive? Then you can see, as here the Bible says, Isaac was a seed because he came from the promise. What is a promise? A promise is a seed. You know, like if you have a peach seed. Like in Genesis chapter 1, it says, let the earth bring forth. And Brother Abraham said, before the earth could bring forth, God had put the seed in.
ground.
Right.
So when God says, let there be trees, and the trees should have fruits, and then the fruits should be seeds.
Right.
Can you see?
Uh-huh.
So before they could have fruits with the seeds, they had to originally be seed.
Right.
So from the seed came forth the tree. And then another seed. So Isaac was a seed because he was the promise of God. So not everything that Abraham brought into the world is called seed, but that which is according to the promise. So if Abraham had 10 sons, or Abraham had, of course we know he had 6 sons with Keturah, he had Ishmael, there were 7, and here is Isaac. And they said, although these were in the majority, they are not the seed. So God is interested in the seed. So our calling is not just because there is an ability whereby we can come and worship God. There was an ability in Abraham to have children, and he had them. But Isaac was not due to the ability of Abraham, but as to the purpose of God. So you are coming to God, it's not because of the freedom that you enjoy in this country. You are coming to God is for a purpose that God called her, God has called you to.
Amen.
And until and unless we see that purpose, then our coming will be in vain.
Amen.
And what is to, to motivate our being, to motivate our Christian life, is not what surrounds us, but God's purpose in our calling.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get the point?
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
So you see, the church, which is called the bride, you know, in all the denominational world, there are many churches, many beliefs, and whatever it is. Then you can see now the purpose of God. Though there are many organizations or things that call themselves church, but God still is calling, mm-hmm. like He did in the beginning.
Right.
He is calling for that seed.
Mm-hmm.
He is not interested in the multitude of worshippers.
Right.
He is not interested in the multitude of all these organizations.
Amen. Yes,
he still looks at the purpose. Now, until, brothers and sisters, we are motivated, we are rejuvenated, we are empowered by that purpose of God, our Christian life is in vain.
Uh-huh.
We may come to church and never receive the purpose of our coming here.
That's right.
We may hear the word, but never in our life will we have the purpose of hearing that word.
Amen.
You get the point?
Right.
Isaac was brought up under Abraham. So was Ishmael. So were these 6 sons of Keturah.
Uh-huh.
But they never enjoyed actually what Isaac enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
You come to Jacob and even Esau. They were all born out of the prayer of Isaac, because Rebekah was barren. And when they were born, though they were all sons of Isaac, but they did not enjoy the same vision. They did not enjoy the same purpose.
Right.
To Esau, it was just that because he was the son of Isaac, that was enough for him.
Uh-huh.
What he does with that is nothing to him. He knows I'm the son of Isaac. That's all he cared for. But Jacob did not just care for that. He longed for something that was greater than just being a son of Isaac. And that was the promise. Amen. So we have been called. The church is here called the bride. You know, God is just, zooming in. There is all these organizations. There is all these faiths and all these beliefs in the world. But there are people who have come to the knowledge that there is God. And they come to God. some in their own understanding that God is that, God is that, God is that, but it still zooms in to where there are people who have seen that Christ is the Savior. It still zooms down to the place where now people are just, church people are just Christians, and they are the church.
Right.
And it still zooms down to where God calls out by this message that we have received. God has called out the virgins. And Jesus said there were 10, yeah? Some foolish, some wise. Even in that calling, they are foolish and wise.
Yes.
God is still zooming down until he comes to the individual that he may see why God has called me.
Amen.
Why God has given me this message. Why God sent the prophet. Because even in the realms of those who have accepted that God has sent a message through the prophet, how many have seen the revelation of the message?
Right.
Many, to them the message is just to know that there's a prophet, you have the picture there, you have the picture there, that's what it is. But in fact, why God sent the prophet? There's something greater to that. Amen.
Amen.
So the church was called, not because of the existing circumstances, not because my father is a Christian, not because my wife is a message believer, not because somebody invited me to church. There is something that has made me to come to worship God.
Right.
And it's in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, we'll just read verse 9. Verse 9, he says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. And if you go to verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Can you see what makes us to come to God?
All right.
Throughout the ages, God has been hiding this great mystery. When did God think about this? It says, according to his eternal purpose in Christ Jesus.
Right.
So when Christ was given to us, or when Christ was given as the Savior, it says here now, through Christ, we have the boldness and access. We have the confidence which we have through faith in him. According to the eternal purpose of God, not according to the environment.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see?
Right.
Not because we have freedom to come to church, not because we are forbidden to come to church, but there is something that goes beyond all that.
Right.
You get it?
Right.
You take somebody who is in a land where they are forbidden to worship. You take somebody here who has got 1 meal a day. You take here somebody who has got 5 meals a day. You take somebody here who has got freedom and clothes and everything. You put them together. There is one thing that makes them one.
Right.
It's that revelation of the purpose of God.
Right.
That's one thing that will mold and shape their everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
Is that purpose which they have in God, which is eternal in Christ. It gives them the boldness to overcome maybe freedom is an impediment. Freedom is a hindrance to your true fellowship with God. Can you see?
Right.
And then what you need, you know, is not what we think, you know, we enjoy. You know, because there are some things that we take for granted. We just walk to church because, you know, there's freedom of worship. You just go to church because dad and mom go there.
Right.
You go to church because your friend goes there. You know, there are things that brings us, you know, to maybe here.
Right.
But according to the word of God, if we are called of God, there's something that goes over that.
Oh.
And I want to believe that's why God, when he wanted to be worshipped, they had to make this tabernacle. You know, it just sort of shut them from the outside world.
Uh-huh.
And it says in the first compartment, that's where the people would go. Mm-hmm. And there was the light of the sun. But sometimes the sun would set and there would be darkness. Mm-hmm. And then there was the second compartment, mm-hmm. where there were these seven lamps which would give light.
Mm-hmm.
But the oil can go out, can be finished, and the light will go out. But then there was the third, where only the priest could enter. And in there, there was no artificial light. There was no natural light. But there was the Shekinah glory. Can you see?
Right.
So when Aaron is inside there, he is not influenced by this artificial light. He is not influenced by the natural light. He had to go into that thickness of darkness. And God, you have fellowship with God.
Amen.
And the Bible says, we have been called to enter into the veil. That's why Christ had to die on Calvary.
Right.
To bring us into that which was purpose of God from the beginning of the world.
Right.
So we are not influenced by our freedom. We are not influenced by we can go to church.
Mm-hmm.
We are influenced by the presence of God according to the purpose of his calling.
Mm.
So our Christian life, or our life, even our everyday life, you know, there's something that must, you know, make us live the way we should live. Amen.
Amen.
It's not what surrounds us,
oh.
but is the purpose of God in our lives.
Amen.
If we can look at that and see it, then we can see the depth. We can see, you know, the unsearchable riches of being a believer
uh-huh.
in this wonderful message that God has given us in this hour.
Amen.
To be brought out of all denominational thinking, to be brought out of all imaginations, to be brought out of all these things that have so influenced people until they think they are of God because of this, because of that. Uh-huh. You know, like Brother always used to say, he said the American people, they just say, if you ask them, are you a Christian? Of course, I'm an American. Just being an American qualifies them to be a Christian. You see? So there are some things that we take for granted. Are you a Christian? Don't you know? Since I was born, I've been going to church.
Yeah.
Does that make you a Christian? Does that make you see? Does that make you be influenced to see the purpose of God in your life? You know, we've enjoyed some freedoms, we've enjoyed some things, you know, that sometimes they bar us from seeing the real thing.
Right.
John told them, you think you're Abraham's seed? I'm telling you, God is more than able of these stones to raise children like Abraham.
Right.
There's something that God wants more than just being a child of Abraham by birth or just by natural birth. You see, so you see where we are and why we are here. Amen. There's something that God is calling us to. There's something that God wants to reveal to us so that it can mold our thinking, mold our fellowship and our interaction, you know, with God and with one another. And now we go to the first place where we read. It says that I, Paul, am a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Can you see? Even though he was a prisoner of the Roman rule, he was imprisoned because of the government put him in prison. But he says, I am a prisoner of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
He says, I'm asking you, I beseech you, that you must work, walk worthy mm-hmm. of the vocation wherewith you are called.
Right.
So we have been called. Amen. Who called us? We have been called by God Himself
mm-hmm.
for a purpose which was eternally in Him. And that purpose was actually revealed to us. And through our faith in Jesus Christ, we can have boldness. Amen.
Amen.
So when we think of this boldness, maybe we may think of, you know, where you are not allowed to worship. So you need to be bold, you know, to go to church. You see, so you must be very bold. You know, if you are in Iraq, Afghanistan, you've got to be bold, yeah? But here you are in Singapore. It still needs that boldness.
Right.
To go against what you perceive as freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Because that may be your imprisonment.
Right.
So you must actually have to break that and come into the true revelation of the purpose of God.
Mm.
You see? Boldness to come out of what I've enjoyed because of my parents, because of the environment, because of the because of my marriage, all the things that I've enjoyed, I need boldness to break out of that into the real thing. You see, because the curtain which was dividing you know, the rest of the tabernacle, the Bible says it was a very thick curtain.
Right.
You know, and you cannot just break into it like that. It took Christ Jesus on Calvary to break us into that reality.
Amen.
So, because we have been called, the church now is called the bride.
Mm.
Can you see? It's no longer just everybody else. We have been called to be the bride. And God has sent a message to bring us out of all. You know, like Brother Branham says it. You know, we must come out of all our imaginations. Come out of all, you know, because when we come to God as human beings, you know, we've got our own imagination.
Right.
Some are even influenced by our background. You know, I've been a Hindu, you know, so, you know, when I think of God, you know, there must be something that, like somebody said, you know, when I come to worship God, you know, I must have a picture, you know, of this God, you know. So what I do is, you know, I bring into my imagination the Hoffman's Head of Christ, so that when I'm worshiping, I have that, you know, before me. Because he was an idol worshiper before. If he had to walk into a temple, he must see that God there. When he worships, he says, I'm seeing the God there.
Mm-hmm.
So when he comes to Christ, he wants to see Hoffman's Head of Christ. Can you see?
Yes.
Those are imaginations. And you know, you can be overtaken by those imaginations and think you have seen the real thing,
right.
Yet you have not. Then the prophet says, let's come out of all our imaginations.
Uh-huh.
Let's come out of all that is surrounding us. Let us go way before there was a beginning. In there was this great eternal spirit. Without beginning, without end. In there was love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, love which is not there because there is some hurt, but love which is pure. In there was truthfulness. In there was loyalty. When this great eternal spirit was by himself, without somebody to love, there was love.
Right.
without somebody to be true to, there was truthfulness. You see, that's where we are going into now. Not influenced, but you know what? I'm very much full of love, you know. I've heard this one, I've heard that one, I've given that one, that one. You know, I'm a very loving person. You love because you've got this to do and that to do. But if we take all those things away, that love still remains.
Right.
And that is what comes from God now.
Mm-hmm.
Not something that is influenced by what we see. Nevertheless, what we do, which can be seen, felt, and handled, is influenced by that which is eternal.
Right.
That great love which God had, when you and I were sinners, it was revealed. Then we can touch it. Then we can handle it.
Right.
That's why John says we are the handle of the word of God.
Amen.
We are the handle of the reality of who God was before there was a beginning.
Amen.
We have not been influenced by these things now.
Mm.
Why we do what is right is not because the Hindus are doing good. It's not because this social organization is doing good. You see? We don't do good because there's a group here that is helping the orphans. There's a group here that is helping the underprivileged. So we want to do good like them. We don't do good because those things are happening. But it's an expression of who God is in us. That's why John says we have handled the word of God. We have seen it. And it is light. Amen.
Amen.
Right. So the church has been called. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. It's in verse 1 of chapter 5. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savour. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Amen. As believers now, we are called to walk in love. Amen.
Amen.
Now, here Paul is saying something. He says you must walk in love. Even as Christ loved us and he gave himself for us. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, here Paul says, walk in love, is that right? And then, because of this love, Jesus offered himself as a sweet-smelling sacrifice to God, is it?
Right. Uh-huh.
And then you go down to verse 3. It says, but fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness must not be mentioned among you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here Paul is talking of walking in love. You know, from the surface value of it, if he says walk in love, then maybe you should have talked about, you know, you should forgive one another, you should help one another, you should visit one another. But he comes to cleanliness. Let not sin be mentioned in your midst.
Right.
So what is this love he's telling us to walk in? The believer must walk in this love. Amen. And when he walks in this love, it is not for his own good, but for the good of the whole body.
Right.
You get it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is this love that we are told? If you go to the book of Hebrews, I think chapter 12, it says, let there not be a vile person in your midst, so that he may raise up. Okay, let's just read it, okay? I see many attending to it. Chapter 12 of Hebrews, verse 15.
looking diligently lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. You know, in the days of Israel, when they were coming out of the wilderness and they were to possess the land, he says when they came to Jericho, God told them, you must not take anything out of Jericho, but destroy everything. And you know what Achan did? He took the gold wedge and he took the Babylonian garment. And what did it bring about? It brought defilement in the camp. When they wanted now to go and fight, they were overcome, because somebody had done something which was wrong. And here the Bible says, let there not be one profane person or anybody who will fail the grace of God, so that a root of bitterness may spring up, and then it will spoil the whole bunch. Mm-hmm. So you can see that our walking now, because of our calling, it is not for yourself only, but it is for the furtherance of the purpose of God in His church. Amen. Let there not be anyone like Esau, who took things for granted. And because he wanted a morsel of bread, he was ready to sell his birthright so that he can enjoy what he thought was life at that particular moment. So we have been called not for ourselves only, but for the furtherance of the purpose of God in His church. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus Christ, when He came, like Paul says, He gave His life as a sweet-smelling sacrifice to God. But it was not for His own, but for the purpose of God.
Amen.
And how did He achieve this? Now, we just want maybe to zero down to how then should we walk, as the Bible says, walk according to your calling. How then should we walk? How then should we behave when God has called us? Because God is doing a work in our midst. God is doing a work in you, not only for you. Like when God wanted to redeem you, He did not just come direct to you. It had to come. Even Peter says, we are the children of the prophets. Your seed was there in the prophets through the word of God, of course.
Amen.
And the Bible says, the scripture preached to Abraham and he believed by faith.
Amen.
So that it can be imputed on you who have the same faith. Can you see? So God started from way back there. God told Abraham, walk before me and be perfect. When Abraham was walking before God, he was not doing it for himself only. We are here because he accepted.
Right.
We are his children by faith. When the prophets were being tormented, were being killed, and all that what happened to them, it was not for themselves. Peter says, I think in 1 Peter, he says, the prophets, they knew this was not for them, but it was for a time to come. But they suffered looking forward to that coming. And the book of Hebrews tells us in chapter 11 of the people who by faith saw the promises afar, but they lived their life for those promises.
Yes.
And it says they cannot be perfected until we come, because it is us who they were seeing action.
Amen.
And before that, even Enoch, the servant from Abraham, he saw the coming of Christ with his bride, and you are his bride.
Amen.
When Enoch saw you, it says he walked with God.
Mm.
So you influenced the walking with God of Enoch,
mm-hmm.
because he could see you
right.
way in the future.
Mm.
Now, how then should you behave? heaven. How then should you walk if that is what it means to be called of God?
Amen.
If we are the realization of what Abraham was looking for. You know, at one time Brother Branham was shown this vision, which he calls the preview of the bride. He says he saw the bride, the first bride going, she was perfect. Then he saw the world churches going, and it was filth. Then he saw the bride again in preview. And he says he saw the bride from every nation. Can you see? Every nation. You could see the bride from Asia, Africa, Europe, and the like. You know, because he saw that, and he says one of the last ones was trying to get out of line. Then he says, I just say, stay in line. So he actually would say, he had to stay put in the message that God revealed to him, because he was useful in bringing that message that could bring a bride.
Amen.
You see, so he was not living for himself.
Right.
So you are also not living for yourself. That's why the Bible here says, walk worthy of your calling.
Amen.
What is this our calling? Why did God call us? Did he just call us that we should live drinking, smoking, and all these things? Did God call us just so that we can just gather together and worship? There's a purpose why God called us. And that purpose is what you individually have to live for. You have to do with the coming up or the well-being of your fellow believer. Don't be like Esau, who defiled the whole thing.
Right.
Don't be a profane person who bring bitterness into the fellowship, and it will defile many.
Mm-hmm.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Now, let's look at our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom God wanted to bring us out. As I was saying, we came all the way through the prophets until we come to Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ is the fullness of the prophets. What the prophets desired for, what the prophets prophesied for, what the prophets lived for, is all fulfilled in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And he is the true seed. Mm-hmm. Now, being the true seed, now he came, God put him in this world. As I said, God, when he desired you, he did not just call you, call this one, call that one. But it was all through Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And who is this Christ? And how did he behave himself when he came to be the sacrifice for our sins? Let's look at John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Verse 38. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which he hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him which sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day.
Amen.
This was the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is why he came into the world, was not to do his will, but to do the Father's will.
Amen.
Now, what is that will that Jesus came to do? That is that we should have life. That whoever comes should not be lost, but should have eternal life. And that on the last day, he will be raised again to live eternally with God. That is the purpose why Jesus Christ came. And how did he achieve this? How did he go about his life to come to be that super sacrifice to bring us all unto God? In John chapter 15, verse 9. As the Father loved me, so have I loved you.
continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my life, in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. We go to verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Amen. Amen. Now, Jesus Christ, here we can see that he lived a purposeful life to redeem those who were foreknown by God.
Amen.
So he says, I have come to do the will of my Father. He who sent me for a purpose. And I have come to do that will. He even says in John chapter 17, he says, I sanctify myself for them. He lived a life not for himself, but for the purpose of God, which God called him to do.
Amen.
And we are being called now that we should walk according to God's calling. Why did God call us? What is the purpose of his calling us? Because we have seen, we are not just motivated by our abilities or our surroundings. There's something that motivates us. You know, in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, there was this day when people were bringing their offerings or whatever it was, and there was this old lady, a widow, and she threw in there a little piece of money, which was not even worthy to buy anything in the church. But the Lord said she has given more than those who had given a lot of money. You see. So the thing is, the Lord was looking not at the surroundings, but at the heart. What she did, why did she do it? You see, even those who were given even much more, I would like to think that the Lord was also looking at the heart of their giving.
Right.
Not just because they can, but what has driven them, what is motivating them, what is their desire in their heart. Forgiving. You see? And I want to believe that even God looks also at that. As much as we have freedom to go to church, but what is actually motivating us to go? You see? Because you are not in a land where you are forbidden to worship. You are in a land where worship is free.
Right.
But even though there's that freedom, what is actually motivating you to go?
Mm-hmm.
You get the point?
Right.
Your parents go to church, and of course, automatically you go. But you know, there's that extra mile whereby, why are you actually, what is motivating you to do this, what you are doing?
Right.
And the Bible says, walk worthy of your calling. You see, you are not called because your husband comes here, or your wife comes here, or because your dad comes here. You are called because God has got a purpose in your life.
Amen.
God has got what he needs you to be. You know, you are your own. You see?
Mm-hmm.
Though you can trace your DNA from your father, but as far as this now calling of God, you are an individual. You bear your own fingerprints.
Right.
You are your own. And when you come to God, there is something that God particularly desires of you to be, that is to fulfill the purpose of your calling. And Jesus Christ, when he came, he says, I have done the commandments of my Father, and I live in his love. If you love me, you will keep my word. As I have kept my Father's word. And Jesus says here, it's my Father's commandment.
Mm-hmm.
You get it?
Right.
Now, what is this commandment? Jesus says, it is love.
Right.
You get it?
Right.
Now, a commandment is
You must do this. Don't do that. That's a commandment. And Jesus says, I have kept the Father's commandment, which is His word. And He says that commandment is His love.
Right.
Because it was through the agency of love that God sent Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And the prophet said, when man sinned, love was projected. And when love was projected, it brought forth grace.
Right.
Paul says, love seeketh not her own. You see? And Jesus says, what I do is propelled by that love. And that love is the commandment of God. And we can even see where the Bible says, okay, let's just look at it. Chapter 17 of St. John. Verse 19. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Amen.
Amen.
And what is that truth? Verse 20 says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word.
Amen.
Can you see?
Right.
Now, what is truth? Jesus said, oh Lord, thy word is truth.
Amen.
And He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Now, and again He says, I have given my life because of this love for them, so that He can be a sacrifice for us. And that, Jesus says, it is the commandment of God. What is the commandment that drove Jesus to do what He did? He says, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So Jesus Christ is the way that God has brought us to Himself. And how did He live? How did He behave Himself? As He was the instrument to bring us to God. It was in Jesus to abide in the commandment of the Father. It is through that abiding that He has brought us to God.
Amen.
And if God used that agent or that agency of love to abide in the Word of God, He looks forward to have the fruit of that seed of who He was to us.
Amen.
That's why He says, I sanctify myself so that they can be sanctified.
Amen.
I have loved the commandment of the Father that this also may abide in that word.
Amen.
So it is the agency of love. And what is love to Jesus Christ? It is the commandment of God.
Amen.
And the Bible says that He was heard during the time of His flesh. Him being a son, He was heard because He cried with supplications and tears and prayers to Him who could deliver Him. And He was heard because He feared God.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You see? What is this fear that He feared God? I think it's in the book of Psalms. Yes, sir. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. That's how we can know God. It's because of His love. Okay, let me just get to that where the fear of God is defined. Whereby He says He was heard, Jesus Christ, when He prayed, He was heard because He feared God. And we go to Psalms 19.
The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. What is this fear of the Lord? You know, sometimes when we think of fear, it's, you know, when you are afraid of something, maybe a lion comes in, then you are afraid. You don't want to go near it because you are afraid of it. It is not that fear,
right.
But the fear of the Lord is that reverence, a trust in God, which is reverent,
amen.
Whereby you hate evil. That's why the Bible says, let there not be a prophet person, even like Esau, or the kind of Achan. So, Jesus said, it said of Jesus, he was heard because he feared God. And the fear of God is that reverence, you know, that respect we give by our life to the purpose of God. We don't just live half-heartedly. That's why the Bible says, walk worthy of your calling. Mm-hmm. Why did God call you? What is your part in the building up of this bride of Jesus Christ? What is your purpose even for your being in this small fellowship? What is your contribution to the purpose of God in this work that is doing? You know, Jesus says, I sanctify myself, because he was to be part of that redemption. And the Bible says, Jesus said, the word of God, or the purpose of God, to him it was a commandment. And that commandment, he says, it is love. The love for the purpose of God. So let us walk worthy of the purpose that God has called us to. And we know that love, according to Paul, it says it does not achieve, it does not seek its own, but it seeks that which it was sent for.
Right.
Is that right?
Right?
And who is Jesus Christ? He is the revelation of the love of God. What did he achieve when he came? In Romans chapter 15, if we can read verse 8 and 9. Now I say that Jesus Christ was the minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, and it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. So here the Bible says Jesus Christ was the expression of the truth of God. He was the confirmation of the promises made to the fathers. And then the truth here is the achievement or the realization of the positive as it was foreshadowed in the negative. Love goes forth not for its own, but before it was sent, there was a negative. And love is going to bring that positive. When God called you, he revealed to you his word. He showed you the seed of his word. Now, the truth of that seed, as it was in Genesis 1, whereby the seed is to manifest what God desired. God desired trees, but he put there a seed.
Right.
And the seed is the negative of that positive. So the word of God has been given to you as that seed. Because you have to play a part in this great church of God. Now, the way the seed behaves itself will bring out what is eventually desired. So, Jesus Christ, by love, he did not go for something that pertained to him. You know, he also had the liberty to do what he desired as one who was equal with God. You know, he was the manifestation of God. Peter, when he struck that servant of the priest and cut off his ear, Jesus said, I am at liberty to call a legion of angels to deliver me. He had that freedom.
Right.
But he did not exercise it.
Right.
Can you see? Why? Because love does not go for its own. It goes for what it's purposed for.
Hallelujah.
So he did not use the liberties that he had.
Yes.
And Bible says, though he was a son, he took not it upon himself to be that. But he gave himself as a servant. He washed the fishermen's feet so that he can bring them to God.
Mm.
So walk worthy of your calling. The Bible is telling us. What is this? We are not a self-centered people. We don't achieve our own goals.
Right.
But we achieve the goal of God whereby we were called.
Amen.
So when we come to him, you know, we don't just behave the way we want, but we have this love of God. And this love of God is called the fear of God. And that fear of God is a reverent approach we have to the things of God. That's why we have respect for the people of God. We have respect for brothers and sisters. Because in them is manifested what the blood of Jesus Christ was shed for.
Amen.
You are not just a people. You are a redeemed people. You are a special people.
Mm-hmm.
You are a holy nation.
Mm-hmm.
You are a priesthood. That's what you are. And how does God expect me to behave towards this priesthood?
Amen.
Can you see? Walk according to your calling. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
And then, the Bible here tells us that this reverence, like Jesus said, now you should abide in the word of God as I abide in the word of my Father. I abide in his commandment. You should do also his commandments. He said in chapter 15 of St. John, he says,
right,
if you abide in this word and abide in this love, you shall ask the Father and he will give you. And by that, the Father will be glorified. So, God is glorified when our life can bring about his purpose. If you live the life that will bring about the purpose of God, live in one or two people, that is a life worth living. Because you have been instrumental to the purpose of God. Just imagine, because Abraham obeyed, even God himself says, I am the God of Abraham. Because Abraham obeyed, he is called, he is our father. Because of what he did for us. When he believed, it was not for himself, but for us. Who were called to now show forth the purpose why God called Abraham. Now, walk worthy of the calling by which God called you. Refrain from things that will defile you or the church of God. Refrain from things that will darken the way of your footsteps.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we must come out of sin.
Amen.
Come out of all those things that defile us.
Amen.
So that we can walk worthy of our calling. Your work, walking worthy will not be only for yourself, but for others also. So may God bless us as He reveals to us His will, as we walk according to His will. And then, if it so happened in Christ Jesus that He was heard when He cried, prayed with supplications, and He was heard because He feared God.
Amen.
And the Bible says He was made a priest after the order of Melchizedek.
Amen.
Why? So that He can be a priest without beginning of life and ending of time.
Amen.
And then that priesthood is that which brings us into the presence of that eternal life. And then we are also the royal priesthood, a people peculiar, called by God unto good works.
Praise the Lord.
And may God bless you.
Amen.
Amen.